Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
Hey, well, the Sunday night edition.
Give me a talk. Give me a live.
What does it spell?
What does it spell?
It doesn't really spell anything. It's a phrase. It's actually not even that, because if you look at like our logo behind you, Nikki, it says www.freetalklive.com, and there's no spaces, of course. And actually, those are all capital letters.
In the actual title.
Yes, that's true. In
this is the website.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I guess you've got me there.
Free Talk Live?
Yeah. 603-283-6160 is the phone number if you'd like to join us in the studio. It's myself, the captain.
Steve Classic.
And Nikki.
You can join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 13th through the 16th for the 8th annual ForkFest, 8 years, wow, at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which has sold out in recent years. ForkFest happens the weekend before Porcupine Freedom Festival, and ForkFest is decentralized. What does that mean? Well, it means there's no ticket cost, and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, your RV site, or your motel room with Rogers Campground for June 13th through the 16th. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. You can find links to all of those at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there June 13th through the 16th, ForkFest.party. And just one other thought on ForkFest. You have to bring something. And by bring something, I mean, maybe it's just yourself. Maybe you're just going to chill and enjoy it. But, like, if you want there to be an event, well, create one.
Bring the noise.
Bring the event.
This
be
the
event.
Self-responsibility.
Yeah, yeah. If you want there to be a food truck, well, be a food truck, right? You know, that kind of a thing, right?
I've always wanted to be a food truck.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Dot Party. You should have Captain Kickass Dot Party.
The last ForkFest, Captain threw a party.
I did, yeah. I had an EP release.
He played the guitar and everything.
Party. I did, yes. Yeah. Pseudo live performance. I mean, it was a live performance. I was live.
You're playing.
And I was performing. Yeah. But I was playing along with the music videos that I produced.
Yeah.
And I have video of that whole thing that I haven't released yet. So hopefully I'll get around to doing that. Because it's pretty cool. I've seen it. And I'm like, wow, this is cool. So
there was a couch there and everything.
There was a couch. There were couch surfers.
Yeah.
There were attendees.
What didn't that country singer? There was a special guest appearance by like Toby Keith or something.
I think it was Toby Keith. Yeah, yeah.
Toby Keith was even there.
He was there. It's true.
Yeah.
There were witnesses, and it's on video.
Wasn't it Keith Toby? They just had the name backwards.
Never trust a man with two first names. Toby Keith. So there you go.
You got to save that video for the box set.
I thought about like editing it up, cutting it out. It's not that long. It's like
release the whole thing.
It's like 30 minutes time.
Yeah, just
right?
Release it.
And like literally half of it is the music videos playing and me playing, you know, along with the music videos or whatever. So, you know, the rest of it is there's a bit of a Q&A, and there's some things in there. Like I thank some people that I would like to have that on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm giving thanks to the people who helped me put that music together. There was a couple of guest spots. I did everything. I did all the music, all the playing, all the singing, all the drumming, except for on one song I had my friend Steven do the drumming, and on another song I had my friend Chris do the bass playing. So there you have it.
But Bob's your uncle.
Well, he was before he died anyway. This from the dailymail.co.uk, and by the, I mean just dailymail.co.uk. Anyway, .co.uk. dailymail.co.uk.
Dot party.
Uck.
Yeah, that's UK. That's how I refer to it. Oh, yeah. Oh, you live over in Uck? Brain implant for people with head injuries is so successful that the trial participants refuse to turn the device off.
That doesn't sound like that's really how that went down. Like, that sounds like some, like, major propaganda to me. Like, 9% of, you know, like, whatever, all these people that got lobotomies are so impressed with the results.
Well, you know what I say.
Like, you can't speak anymore.
You know what I say about lobotomies, right?
No, what do you say about lobotomies?
I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy.
Okay.
That's a shout out to all my old Dr. Demento peeps and Tom T-Bone Stankus and the Front Porch Rockers for their hit song, The Existential Blues and The Existential Blues Part 2.
Mm.
Anyway, a brain implant designed for people with head injuries has proven so successful during trials that participants refuse to turn the device off. The deep brain stimulation implant created by researchers at Stanford University. Stanford experiments. At Stanford University to help people with head injuries to function again, attempts to boost brain activity between the regions in charge of memory, thinking, problem solving, and consciousness learning. 5 people with head injuries reported they were able to concentrate, remember, drive, and get through the day without needing to nap as a result of using the device during the trial.
Maybe I should try that.
These will come in handy in the 15-minute cities.
And it proved so effective that 2 participants, chosen at random, refused to have the device turned off.
Hmm.
Like, no, you've cured me. Why would I turn this off? Right?
I feel like this is how it starts, right? They, like, put these implants in your brain, and it works really, really well.
Next thing you know, Skynet.
Yeah, but I feel like I've seen this movie
This is
before.
How the stormtroopers get created. Well,
yeah,
I mean, only
like
if they did this to officers. Police and military, that kind of thing. I have seen, there's a meme going around now that says, what if this is the way it all turned out? And it's a picture of, like, the Terminator robot, right? But it's got, like, a trumpet. Like it's playing a trumpet.
Yeah.
And instead of Skynet, it says Skynet.
Oh, gosh. I feel like I've seen that, actually. That'd be better, right? Better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Skynet over Skynet, yes.
Yep.
Even though I'm not really a fan of Ska.
But I'm more a fan of that than, like, total world domination.
Yeah. Participants for this trial were selected based on their injuries, with those who took part having previously recovered from comas.
Hmm.
In these patients, those pathways are largely intact. But everything has been down-regulated, said Dr. Jamie Henderson, professor of neurosurgery. It's as if the lights had been dimmed, and there just wasn't enough electricity to turn them back up. By introducing electrical stimulation in specific areas of the brain, researchers hoped to turn the lights back up. They used virtual models of each of the participants' brains to trial stimulation in different areas. The devices were then implanted into the brains of participants aged between 22 and 60. They then spent 90 days with it turned on for 12 hours a day.
They're probably sleeping the other 12 hours.
Researchers say that by the end of the trial, the mental processing speeds of participants had improved by an average of 32%.
Wow, imagine if we could do that to everybody.
When one participant had their device turned off for 3 weeks, their ability to process dropped by 34%.
Mm.
One participant said that since receiving the implant, they had seen a vast improvement in their functioning abilities. I don't trip anymore, they said. Are they talking about drugs? Are they talking about, like, being a klutz?
You don't have to trip anymore because you're on the brain implant.
I don't trip anywhere, they said. I can remember how much money is in my bank account. I wasn't able to read, but after the implant, I bought a book.
Okay.
Doesn't say they can read now, just says they bought a book. Dr. Nicholas Schiff, a professor at Weill Cornell Medicine and co-senior author of the study, told The Telegraph, the aim is to take the research from the pioneering moment forward into therapy.
Oh, they're going hot. It's going hot.
I mean, when I first tried to move to New Hampshire, I failed. I got into an accident. I nearly died.
Black ice.
I didn't really nearly die, but like it, you know.
Your life probably flashed before
dramatic,
you.
I would say.
Yeah, I still think about it. Yeah. And like it's one of those times in my life where I'm like, oh man, I've been into several vehicle accidents, and yeah, it's certainly not my favorite. But
which one was your favorite?
But I did. Well, the one when I was pretty certain I was going to die.
That was your favorite?
Yeah, because I tried to keep my eyes open as long as possible to just, like, I'm like, if I'm going to die, I'm going to watch
it. Yeah, I'm going
to
soak all this in,
I'm just going to watch it. It's the last thing I'm ever going to see. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. But at any rate, I did, when I got in my accident, when the first time I tried to move here and hit the black ice or whatever, I did hit my head repeatedly on the side, right? On there were no...
Yeah.
I was driving a 97 Toyota 4Runner, and they didn't have side airbags. And so, you know, my head just sort of bounced off of the side of the, above the door frame there several times. I remember digging, like, glass out of my ears, like, a couple days later still.
Wow.
Like, well, how did that happen? So I do feel like I felt a reduction in my cognitive abilities, my ability to recall, my ability to, you know, phrase certain things. I felt like I wasn't catching on as quickly as I did before. Like I was smarter. I got into this accident, and I was dumber.
Mm.
Right? I don't know how else to put that in like layman's terms.
I mean, it makes sense.
Not
though,
a neuroscientist.
Right? It's a brain injury.
You know,
technically.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, my medical folks think that I had a concussion, and maybe I did. But like long term, I don't feel quite right. Like my original cognitive speed has decreased, and like, okay, part of that is getting old too, right? You know,
right.
I mean, when this happened, let's see, I was in my early 40s, I guess, when it happened, because it took me like five more years to get out there, and so in my late 40s by the time I got here. So, you know, age has something to do with mental decline, right? One of the things like smart, wealthy people are after. You hear about them trying to get like blood transfusions from like younger people and all this
from
kind of thing.
Traffic children,
right? Because they're literally upset and jealous that you know a 16-year-old kid can mentally out gymnastic them. You know what I mean? Like it's just how it is, right? Youth is far more adaptable, adjustable. They pick up things quicker than older people do. So like there's some of that, but like I'm convinced that you know getting into this accident, hit my head a couple of times, made me dumber. As a result, or at least less quick to you know process information, to you know think about like sometimes.
So you think a brain implant would help you?
Well, I don't know, but if it did, I might also be reluctant to take it out, right? If it helped.
Yeah.
Right. If that's what the intention was to actually help you.
Yeah.
But I think this stuff has a sinister ending.
That's what I'm saying. Like, at first, I'm sure it does help you a lot. And then next thing you know, it takes over your mind.
I wonder what the transhumanists think about this.
They probably love it.
They're behind it. I think Elon's behind this, too, right? Isn't he doing brain implants? I don't know if that's
true. I think so, right. Yeah. He was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I think so.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'm not into it.
Don't do it, Captain. Don't do it.
I mean, I'm like I can afford it anyway.
Right. It's a free trial.
Free trial.
Come on, just sign. Just sign here below the fine print.
Free trial.
Free trial.
Yeah. You can get one of these in combination with your COVID-19 vaccine.
Right. Get your booster.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day, just because I said COVID. Remember when it was called coronavirus?
Coronavirus.
When did that change?
It's just the shorter version of it.
The beer company was a little upset.
Yeah, no, they were. We talked about that here on the radio show. But But like,
people
I mean,
are so dumb.
Oh my gosh,
that's crazy.
No, I forgot about that. It's like a lot of abbreviation. A lot of libertarians talk about like psyops and, you know, indoctrination and, you know, how the media is affecting you and your daily lives and all that. And it's almost like everybody just agreed to stop calling it corona.
Well, so my thing with the coronavirus is it's not a very good descriptive word for it, right? Because there are tons of coronaviruses. You know what I mean? Like there's thousands of them.
It's probably too long for the average person to say coronavirus. I need a quick nickname for it.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just the shorter abbreviation of it. But it's also
COVID-19 shorter than coronavirus?
But COVID-19 is the specific coronavirus, because a coronavirus is a broad term. It's like saying, oh, the cold. All right, well, which one? What are you talking? Which strain? So COVID-19 is like the specific one. That they're talking about, even though they're like, oh, it's mutating. It mutates. That's the nature of the coronavirus.
I feel like Moderna and Pfizer's marketing companies got together and were like, yeah, guys, we got to rebrand this.
Yeah, they're like, we need to rebrand
it. What about calling it Cerveza sickness? No, that won't work.
Like, Corona's already upset. Their sales are down.
Yeah, they can't even give their beer away. We're barely selling these vaccines.
But if we call it Cerveza, it has a beer connotation.
Maybe they should have put the vaccine in the corona.
They probably did.
I don't want to give them any ideas. Yeah.
They were already putting it in lettuce and whatever.
They were putting
else.
Fluoride
the
in the water.
Yeah.
Put it.
Now I'm thinking of fluoridated lettuce.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Thanks, guys. Way to be a team.
Yeah. Eat spinach. But I mean, even organic spinach, it might be watered with fluoridated water.
I don't trust anything. I don't know. I'm real excited to be able to have a big, abundant garden that the government has nothing to do with.
Speaking of garden.
Speaking of garden. Yeah, okay, that's a good segue. This from RT.com. Missing space tomato found.
Oh, thank God. I was looking for that.
I know. I was so upset.
Me too.
I can't believe it took them so long. The space-grown fruit mysteriously disappeared 8 months ago.
Is it still a tomato?
My name's Bob, and I'm a tomato, and I'm here to help you out. VeggieTales, anyone?
VeggieTales?
No.
I love VeggieTales. That was how I learned. That was my church experience when I was a child. They would like lock us in a room and put on VeggieTales.
I was dating this girl, and we were going to go over to her friend's house. Because she was having a bit of a shindig, having some people over. And so we show up, we're early. Or the host S was late in getting her kids out the door so she could have the party with the adults, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the kids were watching VeggieTales. Now, my girlfriend and I had just smoked a large joint.
Oh, that's great.
On our way over.
That's a vegetable.
And so, yeah. So I'm experiencing a nice veggie buzz.
Yeah.
Right? And they're watching, and like this tomato comes out.
I'm sure that's so trippy.
And he's like, my name's Bob, and I'm a tomato, and I'm here to. I just started cracking up.
And you're like,
I just started laughing.
I'm way too high for this.
Yeah, like literally. And they're like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I'm going to go outside for a minute till I stop having this uncontrollable
thought. You're like, I need some air. This tomato's talking to me.
The talking tomato.
Like, yo, what do you put
really,
in this weed?
This really sort of like made me question reality here. But turns out it was just VeggieTales.
Turns out it's just a children's cartoon. Nothing to see here.
So anyway, astronauts aboard the International Space Station, ISS, have announced the discovery of an elusive space-grown dwarf tomato that went missing over 8 months ago. The diminutive red robin tomato, measuring a mere 2.5 centimeters wide, was part of the final harvest of the VEG-05 experiment, designed to explore the impact of spaceflight on fruit crop growth. That's right. Tomatoes are fruits, everybody. If you didn't know that, now you do.
Mm-hmm.
Also, while I'm thinking about it, dear children, Santa Claus is not real. It's your parents.
Oh, really?
Following the harvest on March 29th, each crew member received a crop sample in a plastic bag and was asked to rate the flavor, texture, and juiciness of the produce grown under different lighting conditions. However, U.S. astronaut Frank Rubio, who was part of the VEG-05 agriculture experiment, claimed that his portion had floated away before he could take a bite, which was met with playful skepticism by the rest of the crew.
You lost your tomato.
You ate it, dude. Don't lie. You big fibber. You know you ate your tomato. We don't see it anywhere.
Yeah.
It's not right. We even looked under the bed, man.
Throw another one, man.
Quote, our good friend Frank Rubio, who headed home already, has been blamed for quite a while for eating the tomato. But we can exonerate him. We found the tomato, unquote, said astronaut Jasmine Mogbell during a live streamed event last Wednesday that celebrated the ISS 25th anniversary, as cited by Space.com.
Were they using the tomato as like look, there's the red planet. They put it outside the window and took pictures of it.
Yeah, they had the model of all the planets, yeah. And the tomato was like Mars or something. Yeah.
That's what they used it for. Look, it's round.
And it's red. It's the red planet. The astronaut did not specify where the tiny veggie was located on the gigantic space station or in what condition it was found. Okay, so they found it, but so then that means
where it was.
No, that means somebody took it. It's been HLing, right? Holding on.
Yeah,
right? They've been holding on to it, and they're like, oh, okay, I guess that's
practical.
Fine.
It's like stealing,
hey, look, I found the tomato. I don't know where it was.
Yeah, it's like stealing someone's garden gnome. Like, oh, yeah. I don't know where it is.
Well, that reminds me of another thing I read, where like the idea is that you gift somebody a garden gnome. And then whenever you go over to their house, you replace it with a slightly larger garden of the same, you know, the same clothing, same, you know, kind of look. And so, like, it appears as if the garden is growing bigger over time.
That's pretty funny.
The tomato, which had become amusing as an anecdote among ISS crew members, was initially brought to public attention by Rubio in September during an event he held in space. How do you hold an event in space?
This was lost for 8 months, this tomato?
Yeah.
It didn't rot?
Well, again,
what I'm saying. I'm like, is it still a tomato?
Did it go through like a wormhole and reappear in the future?
Maybe.
They did say...
Maybe it's just a different tomato and they're lying.
They did say they did not specify where the tiny veggie was located on the gigantic space station.
It's in the refrigerator.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Have you looked under the couch? Do they even have a couch? So it was initially brought to public attention by Rubio in September during an event he held in space. The occasion marked an unexpected record-setting year in orbit for the American astronaut. I spent so many hours looking for that thing, Rubio said at the time. I'm sure the desiccated tomato will show up at some point and vindicate me years in the future. It's like I just predicted the future.
Yeah.
Except I predicted what happened to the tomato, that it went through some sort of a wormhole.
A time warp or something.
In the future.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they didn't specify. He then mentioned
classified.
It. Right. He then classified. We found the tomato classified. He then mentioned it again after his return to Earth, telling journalists in October he spent 18 to 20 hours of his time looking for the fruit, but it never showed up. Frank Rubio, a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army, had accidentally set a new record for the longest U.S. space flight. He spent 371 days in orbit. Blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I mean, thank God they found that tomato. What would they have done had they not found the tomato ever? 603-283-6160. Final segment of Free Talk Live, still to come.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. In Tel Aviv, on Saturday, a large gathering demanded a fresh hostage arrangement with Hamas, fueled by anger, grief, and escalating frustration following the acknowledgement of Israeli forces mistakenly killing three hostages. The spokesman emphasized that the soldiers perceived a threat and the tragic incident occurred in a combat zone. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham believes a border security deal won't happen until after the first of the year.
We feel like we're being jammed. We're not anywhere close to a deal.
Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, Graham slammed President Biden's border policy, saying the president has obliterated the border. Pope Francis celebrated his 87th birthday today by holding Sunday audience at the Vatican, where he was greeted by hundreds of children and their families to whom the church provides free health care. Dave Collins, USA News.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That's from something. Is it from like Carrie or something? The mom's like, "Yeah, here goes, they're all gonna laugh at you," or something.
I don't know.
Carrie was a scary movie. They even remade it too, and that one was it was an adequate remake. I really hate remakes though.
Like, they get too detailed.
I'm so tired of it's like
the regular one.
It's like I realized that there was some sort of a actor's writer's strike. I don't know what it was. Something going on in Hollywood that stopped production of everything for whatever reason. Because we make too much money. We got to stop. I don't know. Oh my gosh, man! There are so many writers on planet Earth.
Yeah, you guys can't come up with any new material.
There are so many, or at least, at the very least, go dig into the mostly unknown bin of movies that were made, in a time where they should have waited for tech.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, like some sci-fi stuff where it's guys really didn't have the special effects to be able to, you know, pull this one off.
I have a specific movie in mind. I've mentioned this before. It is a post-apocalypse movie starring George Peppard and Jan Michael Vincent those of you who don't know, George Peppard played Hannibal Smith in the A-Team in the 80s.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And Jan Michael Vincent was the lead actor in Airwolf, also in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So, at any rate, and they did stuff before that, right? They were actors that. They did a whole bunch of acting, and so they were stars at the time. So, anyway, the movie is called Damnation Alley, and, yeah, it spot-on hits those points, right? Like, they're trying to fight giant radiated mutated cockroaches, right?
Yeah.
So basically they filmed some cockroaches and then poorly you know, edited them into the
Yes, I love
and
that.
It's you watch it now and it's laughably horrible.
Yeah.
But they did have some cool things. They had they found these amphibious military vehicles that instead of having one wheel, it had three wheels in sort of a triangle thing. And so if, like, one of the tires blew out, the thing would just flip over and move to the next tire. Hmm. Or the next wheel, I guess, because it's a fully functional wheel. But also, it could go in water. It was amphibious, so that was pretty cool. There's a bunch of other stuff in there that I can't remember, but, like,
that's something
you know,
that should be
go remembered. Reach into the, like, nobody's ever heard of this film because it was so horrible that it flopped at the box office, and, like, do it some justice, right? There's plenty of really good stories out there that got poorly made. Like, instead of remaking something...
Like, classics, like, too. You know what I mean? Like, you can't remake a classic. It's just kind of like, ugh.
Could they remake the Blues Brothers?
Well, you know, they made a second one, and that didn't...
Well, that wasn't a remake.
Well,
Animal House or Caddyshack. Can you get those original
No, because those are classics. I don't want those remade. I want, like, obscure titles.
Yeah.
Crap that nobody's ever heard. Oh, did you know that this movie was originally made in, you know, 1974 or whatever, and it totally flopped at the box office. It never went to DVD.
Well, a lot of times like that,
it's a good story.
Right, if you hear a song, though, I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but it's like, I love that song. But it was a remake of something in the 50s or whatever.
Well, and they used to do that a lot. Like, a bunch of the Beatles, like, their like first couple of albums were all covers. And that was kind of, you know, there wasn't too much new material going on in the 50s and the 60s. It was like, oh, okay, it's like, a remake. You know, I mean, I'm trying to think.
Musically, they call it a cover.
Connie Francis, it's like every single song she ever did was a cover. Like, I don't even know if she has any original music.
Right, yeah. Before we go on, I do want to say thank you to tonight's amplifier. Tonight's amplifier is Gnostic Wretch. Gnostic Wretch gives us $5 per month via the AMPS program. What is the AMPS program, you might ask?
Tell us, Captain.
I will. You can go visit amps.freetalklive.com to find out all of the details. It's a Patreon type of setup. And we only ask for $5 a month. There's different levels. There's a silver and gold and platinum levels, whatever, depending on how much you want to give. But it allows you to donate some money to help get this radio station onto more, or this radio program onto more radio stations. We're currently on, I think, 180-200 stations is what Mark said. We could be on 250.
We've got to nail that number down.
350. I think we only get to find out like once a year.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds strange.
I know, but I don't know how to do it. Otherwise, I would, and you would know.
Right.
So, you know, Mark, if you're listening, figure that out.
We need that number.
But we could be on way more radio stations. So, if you enjoy this program, the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers. The perspective of freedom, prosperity, peace, non-aggression that we bring to the airwaves. You think that the message of freedom is worthy of spreading to more people, please consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Gnostic Wretch. We appreciate you. amps.freetalklive.com. All right, so I think because it's Sunday, we're just going to go with this from Vice.
Is that still a thing? Vice? I thought they were...
Vice.com? Yeah.
Yeah,
when was this? December 12th, 2023?
Wow.
A man escaped prison after botched penis enlargement.
That happened to me.
A man escaped... Did the penis enlargement...
I have so many questions.
Help get out of prison?
Immediately, I'm like, wait, can I say that on the radio?
Probably not.
So I'm not going to.
Maybe the other prisoners were complaining.
It was
he had a penis enlargement.
I don't know. It was almost the perfect plan, minus the agonizing pain part.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
It was almost the perfect plan. Thanapat Mayad, age 37, was serving a sentence for theft in a prison in the city of Pattaya, Thailand.
Oh.
When he started feeling pain in his private parts, according to the Thai newspaper, the Bangkok Post.
Oh, jeez.
Not a typo. Before being put in prison, Mayad underwent a series of injections to enlarge his penis. But last week, Mayad was admitted to a local hospital after his genitals became severely infected. At some point while in the hospital, Mayad came up with a plan to escape. He called his wife, who allegedly then smuggled in a pair of pliers.
For what?
Oh, no.
To pick the lock on this, or for what?
Oh, no.
On Friday, Mayad underwent surgery to deal with his infected genitals, then hours later escaped.
And here's where the pliers come in.
Mayad allegedly used the pliers. Drum roll, please. Cut through his ankle chains at around 2 a.m.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Video later published online showed a hunched over Mayad limping towards a nearby elevator.
So they don't have guards? They're just, this dude's just like chilling in the hospital room alone?
Why was he limping? Because of the cutting the chain or because of the infected junk?
I'm going to go with E, all of the above.
Ooh, yes.
E, all of the above. When hospital officials noticed that he was gone from his seventh floor room, authorities.
Oh, no, the authorities.
Steve's favorite word.
Yeah. Oh, officials are my.
That's oh, funny. Sorry, my bad. Authorities immediately began hunting for him.
Ooh.
Did they get a hunting license?
Do you have a license?
Sorry, do you have a license to hunt this man? They focused their search on the surrounding buildings and words, reportedly believing he couldn't have gotten far because he still had a urine tube inserted in his genitals.
I mean, he had the pliers. He could probably pull that out.
Ooh. I've seen that before, and it is a mess. Oh, God.
Gotta hurt. Hopefully he's got something to bite down on so he doesn't, you know.
It's just take the saline out. Just take it out the right way, please. Oh, no.
Prison officials.
Oh, there they are, the officials.
No, not the officials.
The officials.
Prison officials announced his capture on Sunday, about 28 hours later, on the roof of a nearby building.
What? What is up with this guy?
I'll hide on the roof.
Maybe if I get some altitude, the blood will, I don't know.
Like, chill out, Batman.
Mayad reportedly told police that after fleeing the hospital, he ran into the nearby forest and threw the pliers away.
Oh, good.
See, the problem there is he talked to the police, told him what he did.
He then climbed a nearby power pole onto the roof of the hospital psychiatry ward.
Wow.
Roughly only 70 feet from where he had escaped.
I feel like he could have done better. I feel like he really could have.
So he got
He would
got
have
out.
Been better in the forest.
He got out. He used the pliers to break the chains on his ankles. Don't be breaking the chair now, Nikki. He used the chains, the pliers to break the chains on his ankles. He ran into the nearby forest. He chucked the pliers and then went.
I spent 70 feet back.
You know what? I got to climb.
Onto the roof of a building.
I got to climb this power pole onto this roof of a building that's about 70 feet away from where
I am. Those pain meds, though, man. Yeah. Like, he was. And where's his wife? Didn't his wife come to pick him up? She wasn't going to, like, give him a ride or something?
She gave the pliers and then up. She's out.
Yeah, she just came. She just came to bring the pliers and then dipped out.
Maybe she was, I don't know, getaway or something? Yeah. I don't know.
She wasn't impressed with the results of the surgery, so she was like, I'm out of here.
She was like, I wanted it bigger, but this is ridiculous. I can't look at that.
It's infected.
He then climbed the nearby power pole onto the roof of the hospital psychiatry ward, roughly 70 feet from where he escaped. He stayed there, hiding under a black bag, reportedly in agonizing pain. Until he was discovered. I wonder how they discovered it.
Why did he climb the pole?
These guys went on a hunt.
Like,
you know.
Out of everything. I mean, maybe he thought it would be a good hiding spot, but if I'm, like, post-op with an infected, you know.
Piece of junk.
Yeah, like, catheters in and everything. He has, like, a pee bag. It's like, why are. Like, that just seems like quite the endeavor. Like, I wouldn't be able to do that, like, normally. Never mind in that condition.
This sounds like a job for junk removal service.
2800 got junk.
Yeah, there's. I have so many questions.
So he's back
now,
in jail?
Maybe he thought that, like, the best hiding spot where they wouldn't look for him would be the hospital he just escaped from, right?
Yeah,
right,
he's
right,
like, yeah. No one would ever be dumb enough to hide from me every
back feet. And hide. Yeah. I wonder if he tried to get back into the hospital to hide
maybe.
There. Or maybe,
or he, maybe was, he was like, I need medical attention.
He was in so much pain.
Yeah, he should have, I don't know.
Before his capture, his wife reportedly admitted to smuggling in the pliers and told authorities that he escaped because he missed his family.
Yeah, sounds nice.
I mean, anybody.
Too bad your wife is a snitch. Like, oh my gosh.
Anybody in any kind of prison, jail, whatever you want to call it. And
misses
I realized,
their family?
I realized this was a hospital, but he was still under arrest, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's still chained to a bed.
Yeah, had his ankles, you know, chained up or whatever. But yeah, his wife is a snitch, apparently. She admitted to smuggling the pliers.
Because of the botched surgery. That's why she's a snitch.
Mayad still had 13 months remaining on his sentence, but...
Now he has way more.
With new charges related to the escape, he could face an additional 3 years behind bars.
That sucks.
According to the Bangkok Post.
Yeah, if I was him, I would, like, try to, not, like, you can't really plead insanity, I guess, but be like, oh, I was all hopped up on these pain meds. It wasn't my fault.
His wife was also charged with aiding his escape and could face up to 5 years for her role.
What? Wow. She's going to face more than him?
A pair of pliers.
Yeah.
That's wild. This is why you don't talk to the cops.
Well, and now he's probably going, yeah, that's right, snitch.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
He's probably like, sweet, I get out. She's nowhere to be found. Woo, freedom.
That's crazy.
Yeah. This is a crazy story. That's it. That's the whole story. I just, wow. Like.
So what's the moral to the story?
I don't know. Don't.
Stay in the forest.
Don't let your wife smuggle your pliers into a prison hospital. Was it the prison hospital or was it just a hospital?
Probably just a hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, there we go.
Awesome.
What else do we have, Steve? Nikki? How about...
The Tesla.
How about Tesla recalls nearly all U.S. vehicles over autopilot system defects?
I love this one. Yeah. No, I don't love it, but it's a good told-you-so moment for me, because I've been saying this is going to happen. I just like being right, you know? Sorry to everyone who was harmed by me being right, but I tried to warn you.
I actually don't like the fact... like when I'm right and it comes true, especially if it's horrific, it's not a thing that I, you know, I don't want to be right about the state is evil.
Yeah.
I don't want to be right about the largest polluter on planet Earth is organizations calling themselves governments. I don't want to be right about the number one cause of death of all humans of all time is government. You know, by orders of magnitude, like nothing else kills more people than government. I don't want to be right about any of that.
But you're right.
But I am. You can look it up for yourself. You have a magic rectangle. If you don't, go get one. If you don't want one, then borrow somebody's. Look it up.
Or just go to the library.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's books written on it. Whatever.
Go read that full version of Spooner's Constitution of Known Authority.
There you go.
This from my Mr. Zira.
Oh,
his
Al?
Middle initial is J, and his first name is Al. Al J Zira.
Yep, you can call me Al.
You can call me Al. Tesla is recalling more than 2 million cars in the United States. I mean, if they've got autopilot, can't Tesla just be like,
we'll turn it off or we're updating it?
Come back to the dealership.
But that's the part that's messed up.
Well, what are they going to... Isn't it just a software update?
Yeah, you would think it'd be a computer thing,
they
right?
Download the software.
Yeah. Plug the internet into it.
Yeah.
Bob's your uncle. More than 2 million cars are being recalled by Tesla in the U.S. Nearly all of its vehicles sold there after a federal regulator said defects with the autopilot system pose a safety hazard. Or the defect word. Yeah, the government doesn't have a back door to get into it.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
That's what they need. Yeah.
In a recall filing on Wednesday, the carmaker said autopilot software system controls may not be sufficient to prevent driver misuse.
Hmm. And we need a kill switch.
How do you misuse autopilot?
Yeah.
Automated technology holds great promise for improving safety, but only when it is deployed responsibly, said a spokesperson for the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
An official.
Blah, blah, blah.
The NHTSA. NHTSA. Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with New Hampshire Transportation. Oh, well, anyway. Which has been investigating the autopilot function for more than 2 years.
It took them 2 years to figure out there's a problem.
If there's a problem...
Don't you know immediately?
Why would you even allow the cars to be sold? Because, I mean, they're in a position to disallow things as a government, right? Mm. So, this makes no sense to me at all. Where did I leave off? There it is, the auto puncture more than 2 years. Today's action is an example of improving automated systems by prioritizing safety. The recall covers models Y, S, 3, and X.
Isn't that like all of them, besides the Cybertruck?
Yeah. Produced between October 5th,
available.
October 5th, 2012, and December 7th, 2023. Speaking before the House of Representatives Wednesday, acting NHTSA Administrator Ann Carlson.
Acting?
Acting Administrator. That means, she wasn't acting good enough for...
It's like a real like a play, one, you know?
Yeah. We're just acting. Genius. Thank you. Said she was happy Tesla had agreed to a recall. Oh, I didn't realize I had a choice. Usually when the government gets involved, you ain't got no choice.
Right.
Yeah.
They do this or else.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they did. I think she just, that's the nice way to say it. Yeah. It's like gun to your head. You have a choice. Either you do this or
we're happy
kill
that you agreed.
Yeah. Glad we could come to an agreement.
You did the right thing.
She said the agency first started investigating Tesla's autopilot function in August 2021 after hearing about several fatal crashes that occurred when autopilot was on.
So I'm glad that they were got right on this, you know? Yes. Took care of this issue right away, immediately.
Years later, yes. Nothing as fast as the government.
Oh, we just had to, ask the committee, and then the committee for that committee.
Subcommittee.
And then, the subcommittee.
You know who will take care of things fast? Not the government.
Not the government, yeah.
One of the things we determined is that drivers are not always paying attention when that system is on.
Yeah, that's kind of
That's autopilot, yeah.
Yeah, that's the point.
It took them, how much money did it take them to figure that out?
Are you sure this isn't EBCAC, error between keyboard and chair? Or I guess in this case it's error between steering wheel and chair? EBSAC? Documents posted on Wednesday by the agency said the current autopilot design can lead to foreseeable misuse of the system. Okay, so hang on. Having done software QA for a period of time, I did what's called user perspective QA, so not automation. Actual in-field testing of devices and software and apps and websites. The first thing that you're trained to do is to try and break it.
Yeah.
Right? And so that means misusing it.
Yeah.
Now, people sort of have a knack for doing this, right? Whenever some new thing gets invented, there's always some person out there, some creative type, some something, right, who thinks differently than the rest of planet Earth, and is like, you know what I could use this for?
Yeah.
Right?
It's something completely
no one else
than
ever
than
predicted. Right.
Yeah.
That's what's happening here.
But it sounds like with that, it's the misuse is just not paying attention.
I don't know.
So,
It says it can lead to foreseeable misuse of the system and that changes to be instituted will further encourage the driver to adhere to their continuous driving responsibility.
Basically, you can switch autopilot off and just drive.
Wait a minute.
That'll solve the problem.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
What's the point of autopilot
right.
if you have continuous driving responsibility?
Yeah.
Some experts have raised questions, like we have. Not that we're experts, over whether such steps go far enough.
Whoa.
The compromise is disappointing, said Phil Koopman, a professor of electrical and computer engineering at Carnegie Mellon University, who studies autonomous vehicle safety, told the Associated Press. Because it does not fix the problem that older cars do not have adequate hardware for driver monitoring.
And they also don't have autopilot capabilities,
right.
So how is this relevant?
Driverless cars, exalted by supporters as exciting technological advancements, have faced a series of setbacks in recent months. And this is just trying to, you know, relate it to something else. In October, California suspended testing of the self-driving car firm Cruise after California's Department of Motor Vehicles raised questions about safety concerns.
I think there was some self-driving cars in San Francisco.
They were using it for like Uber or something.
And people just put a cone out in front of the car. You didn't know what to do.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Just go against what they're doing.
Oh, and there was some kind of a hack for parallel parking, too, in those cars. I don't remember what it was, but it was similar to that.
Oh, I think, what do you mean by that? Like, because I would think, isn't that a big feature that they would use?
Many people are horrible at parallel parking, right?
Oh, many people. I thought you said many people, and I was like trying to, like, my brain is like doing the numbers thing.
You know, like
are short people bad at driving or something?
Or are they driving a Mini?
Yeah, like a Mini Cooper?
Yeah. They have trouble parking.
So, yes, but that was a huge feature with the Teslas, is people don't know how to parallel park because
of
reasons.
Right, we're speeding towards idiocracy.
Somewhat related, and we're running short on time. You guys are familiar or have heard about this this movie produced by the Obamas?
No. Oh, I saw it.
I saw it, too.
What is it?
Yeah, do you remember the name?
End the world, leave the world behind?
Leave the world behind, right, yeah. So.
Touch no child's behind?
Well, that's what it should have been called. Particularly
leave the world behind.
At any rate, in the movie, and this is a spoiler, Nikki, so if you
Tesla, yes.
Yeah, in
go
the movie,
right ahead, I'm never going
to
watch
movie,
it.
They like, they're meandering down this road to try and like see if they can, you know, get on down the road. They're in a sort of a remote area. And so they get in a car and they drive and they see a whole bunch of what I assume are supposed to be Teslas.
They were Teslas.
Sort of parked on the freeway, right? Blocking any traffic from going by.
Yeah,
and so they're standing there and they're looking at it weird, and like a couple of them look like they've crashed into each other. And
I've
that
seen
kind of thing.
This photo.
And then all of a sudden they hear a thing. And the guy's like, oh, gosh, I know what this is. And he yells to the lady, get out of the way, go. And she jumps in the car and sort of maneuvers out of the way. Here comes another Tesla. Boom, and slams into it. So they were remote piloting these things to create traffic jams. We're out of time. Thank you, Nikki. Thank you, Steve Classic, for joining me tonight. Thank you to our producers. Thank you to our callers, our listeners. If you missed any part of tonight's program, please find the archives over at freetalklive.com. Thanks. And peace.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.